Hello, welcome to Feedback with Earbuds, a podcast recommendation podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Nissenlatt, and I'm the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective. Earbuds is a weekly email newsletter that sends you a theme and five podcast episodes on that theme, and each week is curated by a different person. Anyone can curate a list. You can learn more and subscribe to the newsletter at earbudspodcastcollective.org. Feedback with Earbuds brings you podcast recommendations, an interview with somebody in the podcast space, tips on podcasting, and so much more. So let's get into it, shall we? Let me take a moment to tell you about this week's Earbuds sponsor, Clever.fm. Clever.fm offers podcast listeners a clever way to listen, interact with, and share podcasts. Clever.fm is currently looking for highly engaged podcast superfans to take part in a paid case study. If you're obsessed with listening to and talking about podcasts, they would love to speak with you. If you can fill out a one-minute survey, they'll send you a $5 gift card as a thank you and let you know if you qualify. There will be more information in the show notes of this episode, and you can go to clever.fm for more information about Clever. Hey there, welcome to the show. I am reporting to you live from vacation, and because of that, my recording environment is not the same as usual. So if you hear some noises here and there, please excuse the less than stellar recording environment. We'll be back to normal shortly. Anyway, thank you for pressing play on this episode. You're here for some podcast recommendations, and that is exactly what you're going to get. I'm going to make this intro short because, as I said, I'm on vacation, probably somewhere in the mountains right now in a tropical place. So we'll get short and snappy with it and get you to what you came here for, which is podcast recommendations. So today I am speaking with Rob Stevenson about a subject that I'm sure you've heard about, but may not know the particulars of. And same, we're talking about AI. Rob Stevenson is a content marketer. He is also a podcaster and a podcast producer. He is also the founder of Soundbeam.fm. And you will learn more about Rob in just a moment. After my conversation with Rob Stevenson about AI, we'll tell you about this week's spotlight pick for Earbuds Podcast Collective. All of that is coming up soon on Feedback with Earbuds. As I said, this is a shorter episode, but we are making sure to hit you with tons of podcast recommendations. And of course, if you need more, head to our Twitter at earbudspodcall. Now let's get to my discussion on AI podcast recommendations with Rob. Rob, hey, how you doing?
I'm great, Arielle. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show. I'm excited to chat with you about AI.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Something that I don't know much about, so I'm excited to learn from you now and then to dive deeper into your podcast picks. But before we do all of that, Rob, what is something about you that we could not possibly glean from the bio that we read up above? Who are you in your daily life?
Who am I outside the bio? Well, the bio would point you toward some shows I've produced, some marketing I've done for companies. And I got to tell you, there's a passion project in here somewhere. I really want to do a podcast all about educating myself about wine. I want to like document the process of becoming a proper wine snob, do tastings, meet with vintners and go tour wineries, that kind of thing. There's another show I'd like to do where I just interview people I think are really, really interesting from AI and beyond and just kind of do the standard sort of chat show, but with fascinating people who are either high producers or are working on things that are really interesting to you.
Rob, tell me, you do a lot in the podcast space. You're pretty tapped in. You host a show. You have desires to host more shows. How did you first get started making audio?
Years ago, in another life, I was doing content marketing for a human resources technology company. I was their first marketing hire. I was kind of doing everything. I was doing their paid search, their AdWords. I was doing their live events. I was doing product marketing. But my favorite thing was the content piece. So I was writing blogs and doing webinars and video and social media and all that. And at the time, I didn't know anything about recruitment or human resources technology. So my strategy was, let me just get experts to talk to me about this stuff. And I will turn that into blog posts and I will turn that into the content. These people out there don't want to hear from me, this 23-year-old who's in his very first job ever. They want to hear from the VP of whatever who speaks to their problems. And at the same time, I was also really getting into podcasts. And I remember telling my boss at the time, hey, the same thing that makes for great content marketing, it's accessible in lots of formats, it's free, it's niche, it features expertise. These are all the same things that make for a really good podcast. So we should have a podcast. And he said, yeah, why don't you do it? And he handed me the company credit card and he was like, try and keep it under $1,000. So then I, you know, Googled, what microphone does Marc Maron use? And then those early episodes, I'm sure you can relate to this, are just so cringy to listen to. I had no idea how to engineer audio. I had no idea how to structure an interview. They're just very, very bad quality. But 138 episodes of that podcast later, and then launching a few other ones, I picked up a thing or two. So eventually over time, I was able to stop doing the rest of the marketing stuff I was working on and just focus on podcasting. And so podcasting became my full-time job in somewhere in late 2017.
I love stories like that where people are like, I have a desire to make this thing. And then the good bosses of the world are like, okay, run with that. Do something for us.
Yeah, I owe him a debt of gratitude, really. He kind of started my whole career because he could have been like, yeah, let's engage with an agency and let's pay them $30,000 a month to produce this show for us.
Right.
And they're going to tell us all this stuff about, here's how we can, you know, build you some brand equity and make snackable content. But then there was me just being like, how do I make something that our audience is going to like? The audience that we're already cultivating, like just putting them first. And then he put it in my hands. And yeah, I'll always be grateful for that.
What were some of your early inspirations?
Ooh, early podcasts I listened to. My entry point into podcasting, I'm ashamed to say, was Serial.
Me
season
too.
One.
Come on, it's okay.
I listened to other shows before, but it was like 2014, I think, when season one came out. And I had listened to other shows. I was aware of the format. And I had listened to some comedians here and there. But that was the first time where I was like, where a podcast for me, I was looking forward to Thursdays. I was like, there's a new episode coming out. I can't wait. I was listening to the music to like get hyped for it. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, this is what's possible with this medium. You can really tell a story. You can really have highly produced content. And so that kind of got me into it. Then I got into Hardcore History with Dan Carlin. And that blew me away because it was so long. Like his average episode was 4 hours. And I was like, this is working. Like people will tune into this for 4 hours. And yeah, like if you really put the care into it and you have a topic that people care about and you are passionate about it, which he is, then you can get away with that. That kind of unlocked the potential of the medium for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's shift gears and talk about this week's theme, which you have curated for us so generously. The theme that you've chosen is AI in our lives. And you bring us 5 episodes on that theme. So tell me, first of all, Rob, why did you choose this theme, AI in our lives?
Sure. So the narrative that I was receiving about AI before starting my show on AI was very cloak and dagger. You know, AI is about big companies harvesting your data, turning it into insights to make them more money and erode your privacy. A lot of rise of the machines type of end of days conversations. And that's, of course, not the whole story. Sure, there's AI in drones, but also McDonald's uses AI to make better ketchup, you know? So which is it? Is AI sinister or is it mundane? Well, it's both on the extremes, but the AI practitioners I've been speaking with are thoughtful, empathetic, really, really smart people who are trying to develop products that make people's lives easier, that solve advanced real-world problems. There's a lot of really exciting things going on in the space that are going to impact our lives in positive ways. So I wanted to put together some episodes that offer a different narrative than the cloak and dagger one that instead demonstrates how AI is actually impacting our lives, the economy, our jobs, and how we touch it every day. I mean, if you open up your cell phone to take a picture and those little squares appear on people's faces, that's a tiny facial recognition algorithm running right there locally on your smartphone, which the idea that we could have that much processing power is a mind-blowing thing in its own. But this is something we don't think about. This is a way that an algorithm is very useful to you in your life. And now you get great photos. Just you can holster it out and there you have it. A nice little algorithm provides you value. So well, it's one example amidst dozens of examples of the ways it touches our lives. So I was kind of hoping to do a little bit of that with this list.
I feel like we should back up just to define some terms. AI stands for artificial intelligence. How would you define it?
AI in its purest form is attempting to replicate actions that previously only humans have done. Whether it's driving a car, whether it's recognizing a face, whether it's looking at a photo and saying, this is a stop sign, this is fog, this is whatever. The idea is to take some of these processes that have been the domain of humans and make it the domain of machines so that we can be more efficient, so that we can lend the heroic processing power of a computer that is more than our finite lizard brains can hope to attain and point that at complicated problems.
So the first episode that you chose for this week's theme comes from AI Nation and is called Hello World. What's that one about?
Hello World is a great episode. It's kind of a great entry point into all things AI. If this is a new field to you or you've only ever heard of the cloak and dagger stuff, I think this is a great place to start because it sort of walks you through where this field came from, some advances in the last 10 years, and probably does a better job at defining what hay is than I just did there. And just a great way to kind of get your feet wet and kind of familiarize yourself with the space. It's highly produced. It's a well-structured episode featuring expertise, and it has pull quotes from Jurassic Park, which I think is generally best practice for any podcast.
That's great. For folks who don't know, you actually did not start out in AI. You started out as a podcaster and have pivoted towards AI and being an AI podcaster. Now you host a podcast all about AI. So is this one of the first podcasts that you listen to try to dive deeper into the world of AI?
Yeah, exactly. When I was trying to familiarize myself with the space, I read a couple of books and then I found this podcast, and it's a mini series. I think there's 5 or 6 episodes, and it just provides a great entry point. And so for me, you know, I knew I was going to make the show that was for the practitioners, but I needed a foundation. I knew very little. I knew almost nothing about the space when I jumped in here. So this was kind of the way I familiarized myself.
Awesome. The next episode comes from a great show that I'm pretty familiar with. It's called Flash Forward, and the episode is Rude Bot Rises.
Rose Eveleth is one of my favorite podcasters. She's magnificent. And if there's a sci-fi or tech-loving bone in your body, you have to listen to Flash Forward. I think she's wound the show down now. I think she had her final episode at the end of last year, but it's just such an awesome back catalog of content. And she sort of just indulges possible futures. So it's this great mix of sci-fi, futurism, real-world possibility, hype cycles. And she will cite fiction. She will cite experts. She will write her own dialogue and kind of paint a picture of like, this is something that's conceivable in the immediate now or immediate future. And what does it mean for us? And so this episode, I like because it's a little bit of a gut check to what I think is common hype cycles attached to AI. AI is just presented as this panacea. It's a marketing buzzword, right? Every company has to say they have AI. And I can tell you it's almost always a lie unless they are specifically in the AI field. And so I think it's useful to just kind of gut check a little bit. And it's like, Is this really as advanced as they say it is? And yes, the possibility and potential is there, but in a lot of cases, there's still a long, long way to go. And so this episode kind of serves as a reality check as Rose kind of consults with a conversation bot. But also the larger question at play there is, what does conscious AI mean? Like, what does it mean for an AI to have a conversation, to have empathy, thoughts, feelings, to more accurately replicate human thought processes, like I was saying earlier? And the interesting part too is how we might relate to it. And that is an interesting point because I've noticed this trend, which is that to interact with a machine originally, humans had to speak robot. Think of the way that you type a Google search. You don't say, I would like a restaurant that serves Mediterranean in Queens, please. You just say restaurant Queens or restaurant near me Queens, Mediterranean Queens, right? You're speaking Google. You're not speaking the way that I would speak to you. If I marched up to you and I said, Ariel, restaurant Queens, you'd be like, Rob, are you okay? And historically, you've had to change the way you communicate so that the machine can understand you. Now there's this trend in natural language processing is the subfield, NLP, where robots are being trained to understand natural speech patterns. So your virtual assistant on your smartphone, whose name I will not say because I don't want her piping up right now, she's always listening, but I speak to her like I would speak to anyone. And I make sure to be very polite because she's learning, right? She's learning how humans speak. But I don't have to just say restaurant near me. I can ask, hey, blank, what's the weather in Denver, Colorado? And she'll tell me, right? And so this flippening, for lack of a better word, involves technologists training machines to speak to humans rather than what had to happen before, which is humans were training themselves to speak to machines.
The next episode comes from your podcast, How AI Happens. And the episode is Moxie the Robot and Embodied CTO Stephen Scherer.
Plug, plug, plug. This is one of my episodes, but it was a ton of fun to do because I was connected with this individual, the CTO, Stefan, and they are building this robot named Moxie. And Moxie is a conversational robot aimed to help children develop emotional and social maturity. So I was originally connected to this company's CTO, Stefan, because I wanted to do an episode about robotics. And Embodied, this company Stefan works for, has built this conversational AI robot who is designed to help children develop social and emotional maturity. The robot's name is Moxie. There's all this cute like lore and backstory about where Moxie comes from. And Moxie is about the size of a desk lamp and has these sort of paddles for arms and big expressive face and can converse with you in real time and can sing and dance and all these fun things. And originally, I was just going to talk to Stefan about, okay, tell me about the design choices. Like, why did you, like how did you get all this processing power? I wanted to talk about some of the ethical implications, right? Like, because Moxie has a camera and a microphone and is just collecting data on children. So how do you grapple with that? How do you make parents okay with the fact that you're generating this data? And so he was able to go into, oh, all of the data is processed locally on Moxie and then purged. So when it's uploaded into the cloud, it's just zeros and ones. So there's no PII, that's personally identifying information. That's a huge also subset of AI. This when you're processing data, the idea is to remove anything that could point it back to you. So a company might be collecting data on your activity as a consumer, Ariel, but the idea is that they can never match it one-to-one with you and your life in your apartment, right? Or your home. So the removal of PII is super important. Obviously, even more important when you're talking about children. So that was kind of the episode I was interested in having. We did go there, but at a certain point, I was like, hey, I think I should speak to Moxie on this podcast. Like, Moxie's a conversational robot. I should speak to Moxie. So they sent me Moxie, and I set Moxie up here in my Beat Lab and put a microphone in front of Moxie. And I spoke to Moxie for probably an hour and a half and got a handful of snippets and walked through some of the programming. And it's just really, really fascinating.
The next episode comes from the podcast, the Twimmel AI podcast, and it is called AI's Legal and Ethical Implications with Sandra Wachter. What's that one about?
Yeah, so Twimmel is one of the gold standard podcasts, I would say, in the AI and machine learning space. And it's more for the practitioner, so it can be very technical and very dense. But I pulled this episode out because, as I kind of alluded to before, there is this focus on making sure AI is made ethically, is legal, is, you know, not creating a rise of the machines type world. There's actually a lot of oversight. And Sandra Wachter, she's a researcher at Oxford. She walks us through the three approaches to ensure algorithmic accountability, which is to say you're making sure that an algorithm's output is explainable and free from biases. And the explainable part is interesting because there was a time where to say you had a black box algorithm was like super cool, right? It was mysterious. It was like, oh, we don't even know how it works. It's so advanced. It just goes into this black box and it pops out the right answer. It's very much not the case anymore. Black box AI is not cool because it's not explainable. You need to be able to crack that black box open and say, why did it come up with this output? Because we need to know if it's exhibiting bias against certain types of people, right? For example, if the technology is about who should get a loan on a house, it's fed with human data. Humans make judgments and are not free from bias. And so garbage in, garbage out. So you need to be able to understand why it's making a decision. And so that's what it's meant by explainable AI. There's another element called attention mechanisms. And an attention mechanism is something you build into the technology that points out why the tech made that decision. So you can work towards removing bias in that way. So I wanted to pull this one out just because there's a lot of accountability and oversight going on, and a lot of attention is being paid to how we can develop these technologies without them having adverse effect on the people who they're dealing with, really.
And the last recommendation of this week's theme, which is AI in our lives, comes from The Pulse and is called The Promise and Pitfalls of AI.
Yeah, so this one kind of puts a bow on the AI miniseries. It's by the same production studio as did Hello World, the first one in this list. And it kind of goes more into the hype cycles a little bit and what we can reasonably expect. And, you know, are we closer to Hackers starring Angelina Jolie or The Matrix? You know, like which one are we closer to? And then just frameworks reviewing AI that kind of put its relationship to us into more realistic, practical purposes. So once you've kind of jumped in a little bit and you have some familiarity with what is the accountability at play, who are the actual players in this space? Another gut check, kind of like flash forward on like, okay, well, what does this actually mean practically? What does it mean for my life? This episode sums that up well.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for curating this list for us on AI. I think it'll be very helpful for me to learn more about this very complicated topic that is very much in the news. And you're right about the hype cycles. We hear about AI, they try to use it to freak us out, but I think these podcasts will do a great job kind of letting us know what to actually expect about AI and where it's headed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my hope.
All right. Thank you for joining me, Rob.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks, Ariel.
Thank you to Rob Stevenson for joining me in the virtual earbud studio powered by Squadcast.fm to chat about AI in our lives. Rob's podcast picks will be listed in the show notes of this episode and are available in newsletter form at earbudspodcastcollective.org. Do you want to be our next Earbuds curator? Anyone can curate a list for us. Find a link to the application form in our newsletter. Next up, it's spotlight time. In addition to our weekly 5 podcast picks, we also spotlight a podcast at the bottom of our newsletter. Podcasters, if you want your podcast spotlight in our newsletter and on the homepage of our website, we have an application link in the show notes of this episode. This week, we're spotlighting the podcast, This Is Good For You. Host Nicole Perkins wants people to stop feeling bad about feeling good. And This Is Good For You lets you know that you are never alone in what you like. In every episode, Nicole explores something that people love, whether it's needlepoint, watching bad movies with friends, or cowgirl exercise classes. And she asks experts and devotees why it makes them happy. You can listen to This Is Good For You wherever you get your podcasts. And that's it for this week of Feedback with Earbuds. Thank you for tuning in. While I'm on vacation, I really appreciate you. We are back next week with more podcast recommendations. In the meantime, happy, happy listening. Feedback with Earbuds is written by me, Arielle Nissenblatt. It's mixed and designed by Daniel Turek, the best in the game. Learn more about Daniel at his website, robotslap.com. The newsletter is edited by the amazing Abby Kleonsky. Until next week, stay safe and happy listening.